just thank you and I praise you. Lord, I welcome you into this place tonight, Lord God. I ask, Lord God, that you would have your perfect will be done. I ask that, Lord, that you will bless your word and bless your people, Lord God, to receive your word. I thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful and you are a mighty God. You are an awesome God. And I thank you for your love for us, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you put your love in us. And I just thank you and I praise you that we can share your love with those, Lord God, that we come in contact with, Lord God, that who need to feel and sense your love, Lord. I just thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this is actually called a display of love. And the first scripture I'm just going to read is, because it's this time of year, we see a lot of love. It's a lot of love that, you know, when people give, you know, they give a lot. They have a heart to give. And, yeah, we should be like that all year long. But this time of year is really special. So in Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." It's actually Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. I always said Wonderful Counselor, but he is a wonderful counselor too, so. Jesus is everything we need. He's enough. And without him, we can do nothing. But in him, all things are possible for those who believe. And in John 3:16, which we all know, and actually, let's say that together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." So the proof of God's love has been displayed by his actions. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross that we might live for all eternity with him, being forgiven of our sins and being reconciled back to him. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down or give up his own life for his friend. So we were once slaves to sin that leads to death, but now we're slaves to obedience, which leads to a life of righteousness. So when we obey God, our love for God should cause us to be obedient. It should actually be it should be actually a gauge, you know, that we can go by. You know, I mean, we love God, but, you know, obedience comes with that. And we should measure our obedience to his love, to the love that we say we have for him. "We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which comes by believing and having a personal trust in our relationship with him, putting all confidence in him. We're justified and in right standing with God by the cleansing and life-giving blood of Jesus." Now in Matthew 13, Jesus talks about a parable of the hidden treasure. And I want to share something that I heard Derek Prince say about this passage, which I thought it was really good how he described it. So I'm going to read to you what he had said. And it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Who knows how many centuries that treasure was lying there in that field? Then one day, this man was walking across the field, and he stumbled over something, kicked his toe against it. At first, he thought it was one of the countless rocks that were scattered over that land. But when he looked down, he saw that it was the corner of a chest that had been buried under the soil. Prompted by curiosity, he began to get below the surface and see what was there. He managed to pry open a little corner of the lid, and he saw incredible wealth. Gold, silver, jewels, and he realized that was hidden there in the field. He knew if he wanted legitimate ownership of that wealth, he had to do one thing. He had to buy the field. Once he owned the field, he owned the treasure. He inquired about the price of the field, and everybody wanted to know why he wanted to buy that field. It never had been a very productive field and mainly produced thistles. But the owner of the field wanted a monstrous price, and he wouldn't come down. So this man, because he wanted the treasure, he said, "I'll pay the price." And when he worked it out, he meant he had to sell everything he had. Now Derek envisioned this man going home to his wife saying, "Honey, we're going to buy that field." "That field? What do you want that field for? Nothing ever grew in it." "Oh, but I want that field." "Well, how much are you going to pay?" He told her the price. "Where are you going to get the money?" "We're going to sell everything we have. We're going to sell the house. We're going to sell the furniture. We're going to sell the farm. We're going to sell our implements. We're going to sell our animals. And we're going to sell our spare clothing." "You must be crazy." "Whatever for. You wait. You will understand." So he sold the whole of all that he owned and had just the money that he needed to buy that field. And when he had bought the field and got all the legal deeds absolutely tied up, then he said to his wife, "Now come, and I'll show you why I bought the field." And he began to dig down, and he came to the chest, and he pried open the lid, and she gasped at the incredible treasure that were in the chest. "The treasure in the field is God's foreknown people buried in this world." Matthew 13 says the field is the word, the world. Jesus died for the whole world, but he didn't want the world. What did he want? The treasure in the world. What is the treasure? God's people. But in order to get the treasure, he had to buy the field. Buying the field cost him everything. It cost him all he had. What did he see in us that we should pay, that he should pay so much? It was his love for us that he was willing to pay such a costly price, and that would be his son. He sent his son into the world to pay with his blood for us. And he tells us in John 13, 34 and 35, "I give you a new commandment that you should love one another just as I have loved you. So you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves." So Jesus laid down his life for us. It's easy to think that we would lay down our life for someone we love or a close friend if we had to. But how many of us would lay down our life for an enemy or a stranger or someone we hardly know? By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Most of us, if not all of us, will never have to die for someone, but we will have to die within ourselves for someone sometimes. Because sometimes we hold things in us, or we have ways about us in our personalities or in our character that need to be corrected. And it can affect other people. And God wants us to display his love while he's working on those things that need to be corrected in us. And there's a song that says, "Let my life be the proof of your love." God proved his love by his actions, and the actions of our life are also the proof of God's love in us. And sometimes, I'm going to try to say this without saying this, if that makes sense. you know, we sometimes we display things in us that aren't really good things to display. But Christ is in us, and he wants us to display himself. And that comes by living a resurrected life. You know, he died and he rose again. And we all have that resurrected life within us. And we need to display that. And sometimes it can be something that we never expected God to tell us to do or have us do for someone. But yet, he does it. And when we're obedient to that, we can really be blessing someone that never expected that blessing. So it's important that we display God's love in and through us. We have to remember that we've died with Christ. We've been resurrected with him. And now we have that we have that ability, but we also have that, it's a blessing, it's a privilege. We have that privilege to display that love. And God is looking at our actions. He's looking at our actions to line up with his word. And his word is in us. And we need to be obedient to that word, to the call of God. So, Jesus said, I'm the vine, and you are the branches, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness. We've already been pruned for greater fruitfulness. We don't have to walk in fear. We can walk in love and know that God will take care of us. He will take care of our needs. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful apart from me. When we bear fruit with our lives, the Father is honored. It gives God, he's looking for obedience from us. Because when we're obedient, it brings him honor and it brings him glory. And he is proud of us, and it brings him great pleasure when we do that for him. The fruit that Jesus is talking about is our Christian character. It's our Christian conduct towards one another. Are we loving people the way we need to love them? Are we giving of ourselves for others? And I'm speaking to me too, because I struggle. I do struggle getting myself out there sometimes. But I know with God, all things are possible. And we all can overcome things that, even in our weakness, we can overcome those things. Our relationship with people tell what we are made of. People will measure our character by how we relate to them more than by what we accomplish. And that goes for leadership. When you're in leadership, people are looking at more at you. Not so much of what you're accomplishing, but how you're relating to them. And it's important that as leadership, we all need to be well aware of other people and their feelings. And to love others is to have the same kind of love Christ has for us. Jesus loved those who were his own in the world to the highest degree. And the real test of our love for God is how we treat people.
Do we treat them with the kind of love that God has shown to us? Everyone who believes in Jesus and everyone who loves the Father loves his children and obeys his commandments. So we need to serve one another humbly and with honesty and humility and put ourselves underneath, thinking of others more highly than ourselves. And we need to submit ourselves under God's love so that his love will be an extension through us to others. So, Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for those, Father God, who have extended your love to those, Lord God, who needed something, who needed a blessing, who needed hope. Father, I thank you that you're working in each one of us to be more, to display your love better, Lord God. Father, fill us with that love. Help us to walk in that love. Lord, we know that there are things in each one of us that need to be worked out in us. And Father, I thank you that you are doing that so that we can be more and more holy like your Son. Father, I thank you and I praise you because you are so faithful and you are so good. Help us, Lord God, to live by your commandments, that your love would be displayed in us. Fill us, Lord, with your genuine love. I thank you, Lord God. We praise you and we worship you and we glorify you and we magnify you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for timely blessings. Thank you for your timely hope. Lord God, you are a timely God. And nothing has been unnoticed. You notice everything. And Lord God, you take care of us. Even when it seems hopeless, Lord God, there's always hope in you. There's hope for our loved ones who aren't serving you. There's hope for jobs. There's hope for our government. Lord God, nothing is impossible for you. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Jesus. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts with love. Fill our hearts with praise. Fill our hearts with glory that we may bring pleasure and please the Father and bring him honor with our lives. Let our lives be proof of your love. Thank you, Jesus. We can pray in the Spirit and go from there.